For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndre, here with Bill Goldberg.
I see you in your studio and out the window. The team's putting together the simulator.
Advanced simulator guys from Montreal, dude, are the bomb. I mean, they have introduced me to this sim racing, and I completely get it how my son could be addicted to these video games.
Yeah.
Because the first lap I ran last night was a 121. His one of the guy's records is 1 minute. I got down to 107 in 10 laps. And it's like, okay, well, I just knocked 14 seconds off my time in 9 laps. If I do 9 more, I guarantee you I can kind of cut it down, right? So, I mean, then that you have this argument with yourself. And it's a weird deal, man. But let's just say that I'm going to be spending a shitload of time on this thing just so I can kick my wife's ass.
Well, we know she's fast, so...
I moved the Z. They patterned it right after the Z28. So I just took the Z28 off of a lift and drove it around, you know, for the first time in, I don't know, 5 years. And
yeah.
Cranked right up, man, ready to rock. Just patterned it after the car. So I can't wait, man. These guys are terrific. Like I said, Advanced Sim Racing out of Montreal, Canada. I think they're at the top of the echelon in the space. And people have been very complimentary of the setup. And for me, I have no idea what's good, what's bad. So I'm very appreciative of these guys doing what they did. Like 6 guys came down from Canada yesterday. So they are, as you can see, kind of still rolling on it right now.
And what track were you driving on?
VIR.
VIR. Oh, okay. Yeah.
It was just kind of to get the feel of the car. I mean, this thing's so sensitive. It literally takes on the characteristics of whatever you're driving. And, you know, whether it's weight transfer, whether it's brake, you know, whatever it is, you can dial these things in. So it's what a money pit, right? I mean, you move in these simulators and then you go online and you get your 2-year subscription and then you got to buy cars and you buy tracks. And I mean, good God, this is going to be nuts. I may have to go back to work for this, but it's a lot of fun, man. It's a lot of fun. So
yeah. So I see you're in your studio, and you guys that are listening, I saw your comments and we heard we're going to work on the audio. We got to get the microphone to work.
And the funny part is that the computer team came down from, I think, either Austin or Dallas. And, they laughed at my setup in here, too. And I've made an appointment with them to come down and professionally do up the room. So
get it set up. There you go. I see the red eye, the red eye thing behind you. No, over on the floor over there in the back.
Oh yeah, man. I wonder where I got that cool thing.
I saw that thing back there. That thing's pretty cool.
Yeah, the demons on the other side, man.
Yeah, you guys can't see it. There's like they're like metal plates, like metal statues. And so I got the Shelby one up over in my garage.
It was a gift from an extremely close friend. And then you see that bulldog in the middle, right?
I do see the bulldog. Yeah,
Wanda made that for me for Father's Day.
Oh, nice. Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, it's all coming together. I see you got the walls are done. You got pictures up on the wall. You got some memorabilia going around. So
yeah, I just, you know,
we'll get the microphone dialed in and we'll be
sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but the podcast room is at the end of my list. Okay. I mean, let's be really honest. I got to get this freaking monstrosity tightened up and finished. Last week, you know, Monday, we had the final clean. So, quote unquote, everyone should be out of here and everything should be done.
Except garage doors. What the fuck?
But the problem is that, you know, last Friday, I get the fifth fucking set of my garage doors, my 24-foot garage doors. And there's been issues from the beginning. I'm not complaining about the construction of the garage doors because they're awesome. I mean, Clopay is the company that built these things. And they did anything and everything just to make it right. It's Texas Overhead Doors, the garage door company that has, you know, the lift masters and all the mechanicals to raise and lower these things. Man, I'll tell you what, I have had nothing but problems with these guys. And I hate the land-based people, but if you're paid up front, you know, do your job correctly. Don't have to come back 15 freaking times and do it. And, you know, it's just been a thorn in my side. So, Texas Overhead Doors, thank you and fuck you.
I understand it's been a battle. The doors themselves, like you said, those are pretty badass. But just
the doors aesthetically, they're beautiful. It's functionally that is the issue. You know, it's you know, they recalculated the weight and put larger springs or the largest springs you can put on them, and now just everything's just not working. It's not coinciding with each other. I don't get it. I've been my wits in with it, man. So, and see what it does is it pushes off the podcast room, right? I got to rectify that first, and then I can't get in here and do this. But we're on our way,
getting there, inching forward. It's frustrating because you're at the finish line. That's when things go so slow, you know. I get it. It's frustrating for sure, and I know Adam's been working on, Corolla's been working on his new garage for a couple of years, and then, you know, it got held up by a couple of things. First, it was permits. It sat there forever, and California is the worst with that. It just sits there and costs money, you know, for doing nothing, just sitting there. Anyway, we got most of that stuff, all of that stuff, I think, got resolved, and, you know, and you build this beautiful mezzanine and this glass staircase, and then they, you know, the state comes in and they're like, where's the second staircase? What if there's a fire? And what do you do?
And, so
our guy Sean, there was like a back area, and he just welded up a set of staircases himself. Like, I think what he ended up doing is he's so good about like getting on to these various like auction sites where, you know, forklifts and all kinds of gear. And oftentimes there's just raw metal, like steel beams that they weren't using that you can get for, you know, pennies on the dollar.
Wow.
And he would find, just kind of like a little bit older, you know, kind of worn down metal staircase that got us like 80% there. Right. Yeah. Somebody was doing something on a building. They, you know, they cut staircase out. So he's like, oh, well, that's close to what we need. So why don't I just buy that for, you know, $2,000 or $3,000, which in the staircase world is really cheap, by the way.
Compared to 50 for the freaking view rail.
Yeah. Right. So that's what Adam's into on his view rail. Right. So a couple of grand for the metal staircase, and then he finishes it because it needs to be a certain height and whatnot. So he just, you know, welds on like three more steps, grinds the whole things down, gives it a coat of the fire resistant paint. And, you know, in a few days, he built himself a back staircase that he's kind of hidden. It's kind of closed off. It's the emergency exit basically. But,
I remember at one point we had that issue. There had to be a second staircase, and I think it just disappeared. I don't know.
Well, look, the rules are different, California and Texas, and I imagine state to state. And Yes, as you build your staircase, there are certain rules about how wide it is. Can someone go up and down at the same time? That kind of fits the bill, right? If it's narrow and only one person can fit, you get jammed up if someone's going up and someone's going down. And
Bull said, I'll run them over.
Yeah, right?
There's no jamming up anywhere. Yeah, I'll just cross them off with you, Rip.
Just pick them up and throw them over your shoulder. You're going the direction I'm going now. Yeah. Well,
you're going with me.
Apparently, in case of a fire, it's an issue. So, okay. So, going on in the car world, did you read about this this guy that's been on the forums with his Dodge Hellcat? He's got a new Hellcat, a 2023 Hellcat. That is, it's a wide body jailbreak, nice car, but. He claims that all he did was exhaust on the car and he just did like whatever the resonator or the middle muffler or something. He said all he's done was basically remove that. He has untouched the car, but then the car started to lose compression and basically fried the motor. And he went in and he said, my motor's broken. The car's brand new. I need to get it replaced under warranty. And Stellantis said, they said, no can do. You tampered with emissions and that voids the warranty. And he's like, no, I just did the mid muffler delete. That's what it was, which shouldn't change the emissions at all. He's untouched the cats. And they ran the computer in the car and they go, no, you flashed the computer. You did something to the computer, which he did not tell them. Because what I think what happened was is he probably did a tune and then when he brought the car in because it was breaking, he put the stock tune back in, which by the way, that's kind of the point of a good tune or a handheld tuner is you can go back to stock. You can diagnose, you can do whatever. But what happens
it does have a memory.
It does. If you ever flash the computer in these cars, especially the Dodge cars, it puts a code, this P1400, it's an aftermarket calibration detected, warranty coverage confirmation required. And it basically hard codes it in there. Even when you put the back tune, put the stock tune back in, it hard codes it and says that an aftermarket tune was installed.
I can honestly say I'm very familiar with that code.
Right. Okay, there you go. Yes, there you go. Listen, my Mustang, my Mach 1, you know, when I was doing twin turbos and stuff on it, I get it. We did the emissions tested kit. It's submitted to be emissions legal. But I knew that we would have to tune the car and do this stuff, and it was going to void the warranty to a point. Now, when I say void the warranty, if my headliner falls out, right, that's different because they can't correlate my engine issues to the headliner. Right? One has to be relevant to the other. So, so apparently he did some sort of tune. And by the way, the bill he got from the dealer to replace the engine was $36,000. kind of screwed with that. But I get the moral of the story is if you want to modify your car, I'm all for that. Great. Mm-hmm. But you got to know what you are getting yourself into.
100%. And let's be perfectly honest. The fact that this is about the first story that I've heard like that, going public, right?
Yeah.
Complaining. That's pretty amazing, considering how long. Right.
Now there's two issues here. Cautionary tales. One is, if you're going to do something to your car, you do run the risk of losing your warranty. If you're going to tune it or modify it, listen, if you're changing wheels and tires, very unlikely.
But that's logic.
Yeah. Now, the second cautionary tale is be very mindful of what you're doing to the car and who's doing it. In this particular case, not only did they flash the computer, but it sounds like they got a terrible tune that blew the engine. You got to be very good. You know, like you mentioned, you know, obviously Mario at Gearheads, it's tuned, you know, a million of these things. He's got the time and experience to know what works and what doesn't work.
Why make play sure, Russian, why play Russian roulette with a $35,000 motor?
Right. For what? For a $700 tune? You're trying to save $100 or $200, or you find the one guy online that's like, everybody's tune gets you 80 horsepower. Mine gets you 93 horsepower. I go, something's wrong there. If everybody else is saying a safe tune is 80 and you want to push it to 93, you know, as an example, I don't know what the horsepower is. I go, oh, I don't know if it's worth it. You know,
let's be perfectly honest. If anyone is advertising that they can get more horsepower out of that motor than Mario is getting, it's wrong.
It's wrong. And listen, he knows this because he's blown up his fair share of motors.
Many times. And he's
right?
Worked hand in hand with Dodge, you know, 170 on the Demon and all other things. And so
Listen, I like what the guys at Steeda are doing with Mustangs. I like what Ken Lingenfelter's doing with the Corvettes and the GM brands and the trucks. But all these guys got the time invested, you know,
absolutely.
The time and the money invested in getting it done.
Yeah, they got the experience in the field. I mean, let's be perfectly honest, man. You know, Lingenfelter, you're not going to think twice about getting anything done from them, right?
Right.
Because you exactly know, right. Before he does anything, he has bulletproofed it, you know.
And he'll back it up. If something happens, he'll back it up. Yeah, for sure. So I don't know. Just kind of an interesting story. I mean, listen, I feel bad for this guy. He wanted to hot rod his car a little bit. And he kind of wanted to do it in a fairly mild way. He's like, I'm just going to do a tune and do the mid muffler delete, get a little more sound out of it. And this potentially is costing him, you know, a new engine, $36,000 bill. Hopefully something gets worked out. But this got escalated up the chain. Like the guy put the word out. I don't know if it's on forums or through dealers or whatever. And it went up to the CEO, Tim Kaniskis, and their VP, Steve Standard. That's according to this article. And Kaniskis gave it attention. And he's the one who came back and said, we're showing the PCM was flashed, voided the warranty. I can't help you. You know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he reaches out and he's like, I don't know. Like, I'll get you a deal on a new engine. I'll save you a couple grand on a new engine, you know, through your dealer or something, you know, but you know, a 10% discount is not a full warranty deal, but it is what it is.
It's a hard position to be in if you're Dodge.
Yeah. Listen, it's a shitty situation for everybody involved. Like, you know, I'm sure Dodge wants to do something, but this guy also, you know, effectively broke his car again, not knowing what the whole story is or kind of how things happened.
And if they do it for him, they're going to open up a bag of worms.
Right. You know, you know what I'm saying? You're right. Is there's probably a handful of other people out there or more than a handful
there's 50 in line waiting to see what happens.
Right. That also blew the engine and they know full well it's not under warranty. They know what they did. So they're not even making a fuss about it. Cause they're like, I fucked up, you know,
but they're waiting for a bone, you know?
Yeah. Right. Anyway, so I just kind of wanted to get into that because we all modify our cars and that's the risk you take. And, you know, you look at the car and you're like, it is what it is. You know, my Mach 1, it's only got a few thousand miles on it. It's a year old, you know, built it up for SEMA. And, you know, at one hand, I'm like, I could have waited a few years or do I want to get it done? Anyway, that's where we are.
Give me 2 seconds here. Hold on.
Yeah, go ahead. So, the other thing that
Hold on. We have an affidavit. Introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Chris. Nice to meet you.
Chris. How are you?
Doing good.
Who are you with?
I'm with ViralTech.com. We do custom, fully built custom computers for gaming and creating and podcasting and sim racing.
Well, that's fantastic. So we're literally live doing a podcast right now, and I see you guys working on the simulator back there. And when you're done...
But most importantly, what else are you going to help me with?
We're going to get this whole podcast studio and set up looking like $1 million.
Good. I was just going to say.
Because right now, this ain't working. Right?
Yeah, the microphone is not working, and it's a little echoey, and we've been making promises to the audience for a long time.
We'll help those promises come to fruition here.
For 3 years, we're going to get it done.
Sound like a professional. It'll sound just as good as yours, because he's got the equipment and everything for it. So
I just don't have the knowledge to put it all together.
That's it. I appreciate the help, and good luck setting up the simulator. It sounds awesome. I know Bill was on the other day.
Can't wait to share everybody. It's going to be epic, especially when he starts calling out people and asking who's next.
I already called.
Well, he called out his wife. So,
I know she's going to get.
But Juan is already pretty fast.
I called out Earnhardt yesterday, and I called out George St. Pierre. So, okay.
Well, that's an interesting mix. I'm not sure, Earnhardt, you're kind of swinging for the fences right out the get-go, but
absolutely.
It's gonna be good. It's gonna be good content, nonetheless.
I'll get carried and raised.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's a good person to learn from for sure. But thanks, man. I appreciate you there working on this stuff, and hopefully next week when we record, I don't know
if it's going to be that quick.
Probably not next week.
It ain't going to be next week.
All right.
It's coming soon.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Where are you guys?
To make sure that everybody knew I wasn't fibbing, right? Okay. So we got the man in person. He exclaimed that we were going to get it done, and we're going to get it done. So everybody out there, shut up. I'm trying.
Yeah. We work with a lot of the top streamers and gamers out there, Twitch streamers, YouTubers. So we're pretty well versed in the area. So we're looking forward to it.
Where are you guys based out of?
We're based out of an hour north of Cincinnati in Dayton, Ohio.
I was completely wrong.
Oh, right. Yeah. Quite a little haul coming down there.
Yeah. It is well worth it. I mean, the sim is absolutely epic. The design that we put on it is fully custom with his branding. And it's got car gauges on it, the Z28 logo. It's just a fully custom workhorse. So we had to deliver it in person. Didn't want to just mail it.
Right on. And tell us
there's
the name.
No way I could have put it together.
that's right. It would have been sitting in a box.
My podcast proof. It
would be sitting in a box for a couple of years. All right, buddy. Give us the name of your company one more time.
Viral. VYRAL is the name of the company, and the website's VYRALTEQ.com. And then so on all of our socials, you can just find us as Viral, VYRAL.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much. I appreciate you popping in and saying hello.
Talk soon.
Okay, so I'm fine. So there you go.
There you go. It sounds like they're putting together a good setup over there. So it's nice to have nice guys like that be able to come in and help you with some of this stuff. I know
that's an absolute understatement, especially when you're computer illiterate like me. Which I don't have to prove because I've been doing this podcast.
Well, I mean, it works. We're recording. We're going to get it dialed in. We promised people we're going to get dialed in, and now we're doing it. We're doing it. I mean, we took a few tries at it already, but it's not like there was no effort put in.
It will be professionally done here soon.
I want to touch on this, the Genesis that I was driving. This is the fourth in a row. Again, super impressed across the board with what Genesis is doing. I really think they are a viable player against the other luxury brands, the German brands. So the Genesis, this is the Genesis Electrified GV70. So I had the GV60, which the GV60 seemed like the smaller SUV. And then this one, that was the compact. This one's small, but I don't know, maybe like X3 size. But it's interesting because it has essentially the same drivetrain as the GV60, just in a slightly different package. It's sharp looking. It looks good. The one they sent me is the the matte gray. It's like a satin gray. I think they call it a matte gray. It's not like full on like primer gray. It has a little bit of a satin finish to it, which you're familiar with when you were doing the different wraps from Expel on your truck. You did the satin finish wrap and then you did the, you know, the gloss wrap. So it's nice. It scoots along well. I mean, it's pretty fast. It's gotta be, I don't know, 0 to 60 in under 4 seconds. Like it scoots pretty good. It has, it's 429 horsepower, all wheel drive, 516 pound feet of torque. But then it's got this boost button on the steering wheel, like we talked about before. It's kind of like a little electronic, like nitrous shot. You hit it.
F1 button, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's like the push the pass button, you know, as well. And it gives you about 50 horsepower. It goes from 429 to 483 for a 10-second burst. Now, of course, that does eat up some battery. So, you know, it's fun to play around with. If you're going on a little bit longer trip, like I went to Orange County this weekend. I dropped off some of the Bravago product at our warehouse where we do the fulfillment for the online orders. So I didn't hit that button too many times because I was eating up my range. But it's cool. It's fun. The interior is good. It handles well. It's a smooth ride. You know, this is the press car, so they want it to look good in photos. So they sent me the matte gray with the white interior. For the love of God, don't get the white interior. I mean, the steering wheel is white. I mean, it looks really nice in the photos, but you're going to have to just get like a black or something interior because everything just gets super dirty. I've wiped it down 3 times in the 5 days I've driven it just because I want to, you know, keep it clean. I don't want to ruin the car for anybody else. Keep it clean and keep taking different photos and stuff of it. I think it was probably my favorite of the four Genesis cars that I've driven.
I
drove the big sedan, which I liked. There was a few things on it which kind of like luxury things that I could do without. The power doors, like you sit in the car, we talked about it last week, I believe, but you get in the car and you hit the button and the door closes for you. But when you get out of the car and close the door, it's really heavy and you can never really close the door properly. It was weird trying to get used to it. I think if you owned it, you know, after a few weeks, you'd get used to it, but it was just kind of a weird thing. So that I could end up doing without. I get it. Like the Rolls Royce, like Wraith has it and the Dawn has it, but the door opens suicide door, right? So you can't reach it. So you have to hit the button. So that it makes sense. The G90 had the massaging seats just like the G70, but they were better in the G90 for sure. They were a little bit stronger and they had more options to it. But the G70 has a nice setup as well. I would say if there's a flaw for the car, it's the range. It's 236 miles. It's fine around town. It's just, I don't know, with so many cars getting more range these days, I would like to have seen at least around, you know, like a 275, 280, you know, that extra 40, 50 miles does make a bit of a difference. Like I said, I just did a easy road trip to Orange County and back. We stopped off at the warehouse. We went and got some food, went to Fashion Island at like Newport Beach and drove back, and I calculated it out and it's pretty accurate. You know, unlike my Lightning, the range was pretty accurate, but I knew I was going to come home with about, you know, 20 to 30 mile range left. And I was like right on the money. Like by the time I got home, about 25 mile range. Now, once that happened around town, I only go 2-3 miles. So it's no big deal. I go from my house to the warehouse here where I charge it. It's 3 miles round trip. So it wasn't that big of a deal, but yes, if you had to make a detour or something like that, you would have to, you know, you'd have to stop and get some charge or a quick charge.
Stop, buy a fucking internal combustion
or internal combustion or yeah. But listen, the Tesla Model Y, the BMW iX, the Jaguar I-Pace, the Audi Q8, these are all competitors, and they all have, other than maybe the Audi, they all have a little bit more range. You know, the Tesla and the BMW are over 300 miles, 330 and 324. So 236 is a little on the low end. Hopefully we'll get there.
36 to me is just useless. I mean, yeah, you're paying $60,000-$70,000 for a car. You can only drive 250. And then how long do you have to charge it to get the 250 back?
Yeah, it's several hours for sure. From a full charge from, if you've got it down to 20 miles and you wanted the full charge, probably about 7 hours.
Fucking moronic.
Yeah, a little crazy. But
you have to plan your day around. It makes no sense to me.
I mean, they kind of want you to be like, you're done for the day. You bring it home, you charge it overnight. You wake up in the morning and it's ready to go.
But you can only go 230 throughout that whole 12-hour day, right?
Yes. It's not the ideal road trip car. But
I like how you understate.
I will say, for whatever it's worth, having been driving a lot of electric cars, all the Genesis cars, my Lightning and stuff, when I drove the G90, which is a gas engine car, and especially for me in LA, you kind of forget what a pain in the ass the gas station is. You know, I you roll up, you're waiting in line, you're standing there, and
but you don't have to be there for 7 fucking hours.
No, you're there for 7 minutes. And you know, but here it's LA, and it's people are walking up and they're asking you for money, and they're just, it's just a lot kind of going on. You realize what sensory overload the gas station is. Now, again, you can plan it around a different thing. But by the way, if you wanted to hit up the Costco gas station for the inexpensive gas, which a lot of people do, I still do it. It's a 30-minute wait. Over here by me, there's lines packed in. Like, they got a good flow going on. The people that are there directing traffic, they make it a pretty efficient. But it's a 30-minute wait to get gas. And I don't know. It's just,
it's in comparison to 7 hours.
It does. But I come here, I plug in the car, and then I come into the office and I work, or I do the podcast or do whatever. So it's kind of about time management.
But then if you have to go to the hospital or somewhere very quickly, your car is unusable.
There are some issues. I agree with that.
I see you trying to play this fence and it's not working.
I don't want to make it sound like like this is the best solution. It is by far the best solution. It is an alternative solution, and I don't mind the fact of, if you have the means to have a gas engine vehicle and the electric vehicle, if you can have a few of these toys, like what's behind me in the garage, then yes.
That's different than because you're not completely relying upon it for transportation. You're relying upon it for extracurricular transportation, right?
Yes. Or you got your tow vehicle or your road trip vehicle, if you're really into that, your overlander, you do whatever. Right. So I get it. But anyway, the one that I drove was the Prestige trim model, as tested. It's about $73,000. I like Audi, but I drove that Q4, and I think I like this a little better, especially at a similar price. I would like to get into the Audi, the Q8 e-tron, the bigger e-tron, kind of the coupe version, and see how that is. That should be about 300 mile range, I think. I don't know if it's with the big battery or the performance version, but I drove like the Audi Q8 RS, like the batshit crazy, super fast. It's basically the Audi version of the Lamborghini Urus. And I drove the Urus, super fun, drove the Audi, super fun. I'd like to see what their EV version is, and see if it's fun. So maybe we'll try to get into that at some point, but I'll post some pictures of this thing. You guys can see it. And listen, driving it around town and the size compared to my truck is way more convenient, easy to park. And it looks good. And people were asking about it. Like, you know, even the nice lady that comes and delivers the mail, she's like, what is that? It's like, that's the Genesis. She's like, I love that color. It's like, yeah, it's a matte gray. That's a factory color. You could order it that way. She's like, ah, I love that. She's like, you're the guy I need to talk to when I want to buy a car. It's like, come on over, knock on the door anytime you want. We've got some of the local PD that come over here too. The warehouse is in this little industrial park. So this is where they hide out and eat their Chick-fil-A. They park out front, which I don't mind that either.
Have they defunded them yet?
Well, I mean, they're eating Chick-fil-A, so.
Oh, no.
So I'm not quite sure. All right, so I think we're going to wrap things up. I've got to jump on another call, but I will just throw this out there. You know, the Ram EV that we saw the concept vehicle, cool as shit. We saw the production vehicle. Less cool. But one of the features that it had was it had this other screen in front of the passenger, right? So the passenger can look at different things and on a screen in front of them. We saw that, I think, a Corvette, a couple of other vehicles, Ferrari are doing it. And I think the idea of that played well in the Ram EV, that we're looking like it's going to trickle down to the Ram lineup. So the Ram 1500 may get that. They're doing a little bit of facelift on that sort of a mid-cycle refresh, as you would expect, you know, different bumpers and trims and maybe lighting and stuff. And this could be one of the things that you guys can see in there as well. So if you're kind of on the edge of, you know, between getting a Ram and the Ram EV, well, look at the new Ram 1500 that'll be coming out as a 2025 model year. So probably sooner than 25, but as a 25 model year, you might be able to see that option. Could be kind of interesting, especially because the trucks are so big. And if you want to see some of that information or access some of that information on the touchscreen, I think it's a useful little tool. So that's it. What do you think? We're going to wrap it up, go back out and see how those guys are doing on the sim.
Wrap it up. I gotta go put some laps in.
Go put some laps in for sure. All right, guys, we appreciate you as always, and appreciate you guys getting the orders in on Drink Bravago. Hopefully you like it. Seem to like it. I think we're getting close to getting it down at the Belly Up down in San Diego. The restaurant and club down there. Adam Kroll is doing a show, I think June 4th, and we should have it on the menu. At least one of the flavors we'll have on the menu down there. So come on down and see Adam do some stuff and have a Bravago with me.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, sounds good. All right, guys, until next time, keep the air and the spare in the bag and the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.